In today's episode of the Motorhome Matt podcast, there's a new EU directive that could allow us to drive heavier motorhomes.
And in the news, there's a change to how we'll be crossing borders, and it seems like it's not being talked about.
And we answer your questions on vehicle classes and weights, plus a story from a happy new motorhome owner. Welcome to the Motorhome Matt podcast. I'm Keith Gooden.
And I'm Motorhome Matt.
Industry insights, expert advice for the world of motorhomes, caravans and campervans, brought to you by thatleisureshop.com.
And please remember to follow on your favourite podcast app and make sure you subscribe on YouTube, brought to you by arabasecreative.co.uk.
Straight into the news for this week then, Matt. From October this year, the EES, that's the new entry-exit system being introduced at all entry and exit points to the Schengen zone in Europe. Now, the Schengen zone doesn't include Ireland, but does include most of the other countries,
correct,
doesn't it?
Yep. Mainland Europe.
If you've ever travelled to the USA, you will have had to fill in, if you're not travelling for business, you're travelling for leisure, their ESTA, so you pay a bit of money.
That's right.
And this is similar to that, isn't it?
Sort of. This is the entry-exit system. So what you just referred to is what's called the ETIAS, which is coming next year, due to be Q2 of 2025. It's been delayed, delayed, delayed. And you pay €7 and it will give you a three-year visa waiver. And anyone has to have one, all ages. But if you're under 18 or over 75, there's no charge. Otherwise, it's €7. But this we want to talk about today is what's changing in October 2024. And I don't see many people talking about it. This is the entry exit system, the EES. Do you know what that is?
No.
Okay. So imagine the scene. You're about to leave the UK and go into Europe, and you're going to have your passport scanned. They're no longer going to stamp your passport to go into Europe, and they want to take a photo of you on a machine, and you have to give your fingerprints. And it's deemed that you'll have to give your fingerprints every 3 years, but your photo will be taken every entry point and every exit point, and it's going to take about a minute and a quarter per passenger. Now, if you imagine there's 50 people on a coach trying to get through St Pancras, where they've got, I think, a dozen machines planned, that's going to take a little time.
It's going to take an hour. And in the news this week, it's been reported that if you're a foot passenger on the Eurostar, then they reduced the capacity of the trains from 650 to 450, specifically to get enough people onto the trains to get the train out on time. But this is going to slow things down even more. And when I used to take the shuttle and drive through, you know, I'd just wave a passport at somebody and they'd wave me through on both sides. It's slowed down since Brexit, hasn't it? I mean, yep. I remember going to France last year with five passports in the car. It took us about 10 minutes to get through because we had one EU passport, an Irish passport, one French passport, one British black passport, the family, blue black passport, and then old British EU passports for forever. But this is going to slow down even more.
Well, it will. And even in our motorhomes, we're going to have to, you know, change what we do. We have to get out, have your photo taken at a machine after you've had your passport scanned, and then give your fingerprints if you've not done it before. You have to do that again for 3 years, but then in 3 years' time, you will need to give your fingerprints again. So it's going to slow everything down, and queues are going to be massive. So this is being introduced in October, probably because it's the end of the main travel season, given the winter to get some, you know, initial teething problems out of the way. But it's going to be Easter 2025 when I think we really are going to see massive problems, massive delays and big queues.
As the actress said to the bishop, that's the big bulge.
Did she?
Yeah, that's the big bulge. Easter 2025, because that's the big the travel date when all this will be in and a lot of first-timers will be going over. Now, will we have to pay, like with ESTA in the States, will we have to pay extra for this? Like register online and pay some...
So that's ETIAS. So that's being introduced in Q2, probably May time 2025. That's been delayed and delayed and delayed. So that's coming as well. But you do that before you travel. And that's €7 and that lasts for 3 years.
But
so
this is different to
this
that.
This is different. This is the entry-exit system, and it's coming in October 2024. And again, it's been delayed and delayed, but there now is a timescale for its implementation. And UK ports are gearing up for this. St Pancras, for example, the machines are installed already, but there's just not enough of them, I don't think. So there are reports of huge delays being anticipated.
Oh, my goodness. If you want more information on this, it's travel-europe.europa.eu/EES_EN. Did you get that?
Just Google entry exit system Europe. You'll soon find it.
travel-europe.europa.eu/EES_EN. Don't say you weren't warned.
Yeah, it's going to be a nightmare.
New feature in the podcast. Yes, when you were talking to the esteemed people at Alan Rogers at, what was it? Was it the Manchester show?
No, it was the NEC show, the Motion Canada
was
show.
It? You came up with a fantastic idea. Can you just explain it to
us? So we surveyed lots of our listeners, and thank you if you completed the survey. And one of the big feedbacks we had is you wanted more information on campsites, particularly campsites abroad and throughout Europe. And so we had a great idea to get Alan Rogers on every month and have an Alan Rogers Campsite of the Month feature. And we're delighted to welcome Alan back on and have that feature as part of the podcast every month. We're back for another Alan Rogers Campsite of the Month. Alan, welcome back to the studio. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm still called Rob.
You still got his name on your T-shirt.
I have.
Where are we this month?
So we're at Sequoia Park, which is a beautiful campsite in the Charente Maritime. Do you know where that is?
I think that's just below La Rochelle, above the Dordogne.
Yep, left-hand side as you're looking at the map.
West coast, darling.
Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful region.
It is lovely. Yeah, been there many times. Never been here, though. So what's special about this campsite?
So this campsite was the overall award winner for the Alan Rogers and Caravan and Motorhome Club European Campsite of the Year Awards.
Very punchy. Absolutely. Okay, brilliant. And what's special about it?
This campsite is part of the Sandea Group, which ensures a really high-quality campsite. They're well known for their five-star campsites. It's on the grounds of a historic chateau, so you've got beautiful scenery around there, and the pools are fantastic. There's four pools,
wow.
Lazy river, water slides, wellness centre so you can get your massage, multi-sports areas, all sorts of gym.
Water sports are a big thing in this region of France, aren't they?
Absolutely. Pretty much every campsite in the region's got some sort of water sports centre, whether that's a pool with slides, etc., or whether it's a lake with an artificial beach.
So what set this one apart from all the others then? What made it so special for the club?
So they gave our team a really good warm welcome. It's really highly rated by our members.
Right, okay. And when's it open?
It's open from early April right through till the end of September.
And is it expensive to stay at? Where sort of are we in the price range?
It's not too bad. It's sort of mid-range. In the low season, you'll be paying sort of £33-35 per person per night.
Okay, that's quite reasonable. You get a lot for your money as well, by the sound of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, brilliant. So tell us the name of the campsite again.
It's Sequoia Park, and it's in the Charente Maritime region of France.
Brilliant. There we are. Campsite of the Month from Alan Rogers. Alan, thank you very much for joining us again. If you want to find out more about Alan Rogers, you can do so at mhmp.info/Alan Rogers. Alan, we'll see you next month.
Thanks, Matt.
That's Rob Thurn. He's the GM, the General Manager at Alan Rogers. And in 1 month's time, there'll be another Campsite of the Month.
We call him Alan. He's always Alan. Everyone knows him as Alan.
It's the Motorhome Matt podcast. I'm Keith Gooden.
And I'm Motorhome Matt.
Let's get into the meat, the real backbone of this week's podcast. It's driving licences. Now, listen closely. This could be a bit technical for you. I always sort of tune out halfway through this. I don't blame it if you do. We're going to try and make it as interesting as we can.
You didn't concentrate at school, did you?
No. So, driving licences.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking to somebody, aren't we? David Whitehead, who's the Director of Technical Services at the NCC. But just give us a brief overview of what we're talking about.
Okay, so very quickly. So, the driving licence in Europe is under review right now. It's called the fourth directive on a driving licence review, which means potentially the following changes could be implemented for European licence holders. So not here in the UK, this is really important. But the potential is that the UK government decide to adopt this change in full or in part. So the implication is, under this review, that the B licence, the weight restriction could be raised to 4,250 from 3,500, meaning we can all drive up to 4,250 kilograms. A digital driving license could be brought into existence, which is simply a QR code, thus therefore doing away with the photo driving license card. If you're banned from driving in Italy for drink driving, it would be recognised in Germany, and therefore potentially if you're banned here, it would be recognised in all countries throughout the EU. The lowering of the age for an HGV C1 pass and a bus PSV pass from 21 down to 18, meaning people could drive an HGV lorry much earlier in their life. And this one is an interesting one. 1 year after passing a test for the first time, a refresher test 12 months later. So you pass your test, 12 months later, a refresher test.
It's not the youngies I'm worried about on the road. It's those old, you know what's.
Well, like you.
Yeah.
In your Volvo.
We're the ones that need the refreshers because we passed the driving license, which is a lot easier than the one that they've got at the moment. And I speak from experience because my son has literally just passed his driving test.
Well, do you know what's interesting from that? So he can now tow a big caravan. He can drive a train weight of a 3.5-ton car plus a 3.5-ton caravan. So he can drive something that weighs 7 tons. That, under the new UK driving licence rules, that is not recognised in France. So if he decides to go on holiday with that big car and that big caravan, he is driving illegally on the continent because it's not recognised, which many people do not realise. So they're going out and buying a big caravan, thinking, yep, off we go, South France. You're not driving legally once you get to France.
So my brain started to melt and drip out my ears halfway through all those figures that Matt was giving. Let's hear from David Whitehead. He's the Director of Technical Services at the NCC. What's that, the NCC?
It's the National Caravan Council. So I caught up with David at the recent show in Birmingham just before the show opens. There's lots of background noise during our chat. And I asked him to explain what the changes would mean.
Well, what's happened is that the European Commission have proposed that the B licence for a standard car should have its maximum weight that you can drive increased to 4,250 kilos. Now, this is based on the logic that previously you could drive a 3,500 kilogram car with a 750 trailer, in which case your total combination would have been 4,250. Now, the Indries argued, if that's the logic, why can't the single vehicle be 4,250, provided then that if you have a trailer, the combination can't go above 4,250. That principle has been accepted, and it looks like it's going to now go forward to the Commission and to the Parliament for ratification, which would mean across Europe, not GB, but across Europe, you will be able to drive a car up to 4,250 on a standard B licence.
So this is important, isn't it? Since Brexit, we're no longer part of those EU directives. We have our own. And we can actually pick and choose which European directive that's passed or ratified in law in Europe we choose. Is that right?
That's correct. We can actually either adopt the full directive or, if the government chooses, pick individual elements. There are other changes within that directive, not so much that affect us. Changes to ages of people driving HGV vehicles. Again, our government will have a choice. Do they adopt the full directive or do they say, right, we're going to pick up elements and bring those into UK law? Because we no longer have to adopt any European directive since we left the EU.
And do you think we will adopt this particular change where we can drive 4,250?
Certainly the industry will lobby for the 4,250. The logic behind this is all about the fact that already your combination can be 4,250. It must be safer to drive a single vehicle at 4,250 than a vehicle with a trailer combining up to 4,250. So our argument has always been that a driver is safer in that single vehicle than he would be with a vehicle and a trailer. So why can't we use 4,250?
So let's talk timescales. How long until this is ratified in the EU?
The directive normally will be out probably sometime this year for final ratification to all the European countries. Once that's ratified, it's adopted, and then it will become an issue with the UGB government as to what they want to do about it. I'm sure quite a few companies, Ford and people like that, with the bigger trucks and the bigger vans, because all these vehicles are getting heavier. Electric vehicles will naturally be heavier than an internal combustion engine because of the weight of the batteries. It's as simple as that.
Well, the derogation for going to 4,250 on a non-fossil fuel van already is there, isn't it? We're just waiting for it to be ratified in UK law. It's already been approved, so that's a given. That's going to happen. But this is about diesel vehicles. How long would it take before we see it law in the UK if we were to adopt it?
We do have the one big issue coming up in this country called an election. After the election, the government will then have to decide, whichever government we have will have to decide what they want to do on these directives and any European directive that comes through. We would hope that within sort of 18 months from now, we should be able to see any adoption from those directives coming through. But that's all down to government and the time they will give it.
Well, it's certainly going to be one to watch, isn't it? I would be very pro us adopting it. In terms of the other directives, going digital with a QR code seems like a sensible and secure way We may well adopt that. But you mentioned earlier about dropping the age limit. So this is the fact that 18-year-olds can take an HGV licence or a test rather than wait till they're 21. Is that something you think we would adopt here?
There will be lobbying for it. We had a massive shortage of HGV drivers. There still is a shortage of those drivers in the UK. So I would think the government would look favourably at anything that can increase those numbers pretty quickly and rapidly, because it's something the industry needs. And again, if we go electric trucks in the future, they're going to be heavier and we're going to need more drivers. It's as simple as that.
And what about a refresher test after 1 year of passing your test? This is something that's part of this fourth directive. Yep. Well, do you think we'll adopt that?
I think that's highly unlikely, purely and simply that the reason the UK government gave B plus E licences out automatically instead of having to do a test was they couldn't manage the testing. So to increase the amount of testing we need in the UK, I think would be highly unlikely. But again, it's a decision for government. You know, everything hinges on what happens at the election. Everything will hinge on what the government decides to do going forward.
If you're Italian, you get a driving licence ban for drink driving. That ban is recognised in Germany. If we recognise that directive change here, that means that if you're a drink driving ban here, you would be recognised in Europe as banned from driving and vice versa. Is that something we would adopt, do you think?
I think, again, it's one of those things to added safety the government will look on favourably. But it will all hinge on what the government decide to do on the directive.
Yeah.
We would hope, and logic would say, take the full directive and adopt it in full and create it into GB law. But we never know. We have to wait for the government and parliament to make these decisions.
A refresher test after 1 year doesn't really fit with government objectives. We're trying to get more people on the road and trying to ease the friction to get driving tests passed.
Yeah, that's the one element in this whole directive I think our government won't support, purely because of what they've done in the past. They've given us B plus E because of the difficulty in getting the test done. I can't then see them saying we're now going to introduce a new test after 1 year that everyone must do. It just doesn't make any sense.
No.
So I can't see logically how the government could support that.
Well, let's see what happens. Absolutely. Now, one last thing, David. You mentioned B plus E. Mm-hmm. So this is a relaxing of the driving laws where someone can now pass a driving test here in the UK, drive a car weighing up to 3.5 tonne and tow a trailer weighing up to 3.5 tonne, so a combined train weight of 7 tonnes, without taking any further testing, which is new. It used to be there was a restriction, wasn't there? But however, if I'm towing my car, I've just passed my test, I'm driving my car and I'm towing a caravan that weighs, you know, 2 tonnes, say, I'm not allowed to do that in Europe. I can do it here in the UK, but if I go to France, I'm not allowed.
Yeah, that's correct. Their driving licence directive insists that if you want to tow a trailer combination above 3.5 tonne, you must have training or you must have passed a test. Therefore, you haven't done that in the UK. The date on your driving licence is when the B plus E was granted. Will tell the European police that's the case, and they will then consider that you haven't got the competency to drive that combination in Europe. But what we must also point out, that also covers Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland still have the European driving requirements that we don't. So that regulation has not changed in Northern Ireland.
Why is it not changed in Northern Ireland then? They're part of the UK.
This was a special special decisions get taken for Northern Ireland under Brexit. Mm-hmm. Because of the movement of trade and everything else. Northern Ireland has kept the European regulations.
So this is really important then. So if I'm thinking of taking my caravan holiday in Northern Ireland and the caravan is over what we used to be able to drive, so it's, say the caravan is 2 tonnes, mm-hmm. I'm potentially breaking the law.
Yes.
Which would mean I'm not insured.
And correct. The minute you drive a vehicle outside the conditions of your driving licence, that will also expinge on your insurance. So when you go abroad, you need to consider insurance, the weight of your vehicle, and make sure your driving licence is suitable.
That's David Whitehead, is the Director of Technical Services at the National Caravan Council. Wow, this is a technical one, isn't it, Matt? But if you're caught out, it's really going to be tough. So what does this change actually mean?
The potential is that we as a country adopt this new fourth directive, either in full or in part.
Now, we Brexited and it caused a bit of an argument. I don't know whether you noticed, and people are still having an argument. So why would we want to follow an EU directive? Uh-huh. Why don't we just go alone?
So our own licences at the moment are part of that EU directive that came before, where the B codes and the C codes, so the restriction on the B licence of only being allowed to drive 3.5 tonnes when you pass your test. But that was back in January 97, wasn't it? So it was a long time ago. So the question is, will we adopt this change in full? If we adopt in full, it's fairly straightforward just to adopt the whole directive. But as David says, he doesn't anticipate that we will. But that means we have to have our own debate and our own directive on the driving licence. The main thing at the moment, of course, that's changed is the derogation that we can drive 4250 if your vehicle is alternatively powered, so non-fossil fuel, so electric or hydrogen or running on chip fat, but not running on fossil fuel. It can be 4250 kilos on a B licence. So we're kind of taking a stepping stone toward it. The question is, will all B licences be allowed to drive up to 4250?
I mean, if we don't follow the directive, because the whole of Europe is doing it, it's going to cause problems for drivers. And I'm not talking now just about people with motorhomes and caravans. Yep. It's going to affect the heavy goods industry, isn't it?
Absolutely. So as I said earlier, we've already made a change to our own UK driving licence restrictions with towing, so we can drive a train weight of up to 7 tonnes. That isn't recognised in Europe. So we're already breaking away from the European driving licence directives. The question is, this debate is going on in Europe. It opens the potential for us to have the same debate in part or in full. And what of it will we adopt? Who knows? It is one definitely to watch with interest.
It's the Motorhome Matt podcast. I'm Keith Gooden.
And I'm Motorhome Matt.
Time for the Q&A, the questions and answers, where you ask the questions and Motorhome Matt, for this is he, will answer them from his huge vat of expert knowledge. And if he doesn't know, he'll find somebody who does. Your huge vat. First of all, it's Tony Roberts in Cumbria.
So this is more of a thanks than a question, Tony writes. I recently bought a 2013 Autotrail Comanche, a Tag Axle motorhome, which is 14,000 miles on the clock from a dealer in the Midlands. I was delighted with the unit, but it broke down 3 times in the first 2 weeks, and now the ABS light is on. I wanted to take it to a reputable NCC approved service centre for a complete checkover, as the dealer did not have their own workshop and farmed out everything to a local garage.
But after watching your podcast interview with Bristol Caravans and Motorhomes, I booked it in for 3 days for one of the engine and chassis services, an electrical check and a wash and polish. I could not be more delighted with the expertise, advice and the service. The owner even gave us a lift to our hotel where we were staying while it was being serviced. They certainly know what they're up to, and the trip from Cumbria to Bristol has been well worth it. I shall certainly take it back there for its annual service when we get it back on Wednesday. Our first stop will be that leisure shop.
Woohoo! And I think you did pop in, Tony. I'm sorry I missed you because I wasn't here. I was probably in hospital or something, I don't know. But make sure you check out our YouTube video with Oakley from Bristol Caravans. He is the owner. In fact, we've done a couple with Oakley now, one on lithium batteries and do you need one, and one on habitation checks and what's the difference between good and great. I have to say, they're a brilliant business. And if you use the code Motorhome Matt, or just say Motorhome Matt to Tracy on the phone when you're booking in, then they will give you a free external wash. Your motorhome, that is, not you.
Yeah, I was going to say. I'd book for one of them.
They'll spray you down. Stand still. Arms up.
Say Motorhome Matt when you call, all right?
Tony, thanks so much for the feedback. Really valuable. We've passed that on to Oakley and the team there, and they're really grateful too. So, yeah, great to hear. Brilliant.
Alan Jervis is in Bridgnorth. He says, the weights on the Alco plate on my 2005 Besser car E795 from the top are 4,000 kilograms, 5,500 kilograms, 1,850 kilograms and 2,300 kilograms. My V11 vehicle tax reminder always has my motorhome classed as private light goods, which is the higher cost relating to 3,500 kilogram vehicles. Someone at DVLA said, what counts is the original base vehicle class? Is that right, or have I been paying too much tax?
Well, that's an interesting one. So that plate you've quoted there, Alan, is probably the original vehicle plate, but yours is a private heavy good. So yeah, based on that, the facts you've presented us, you are paying too much for your road tax. So I think it's £325 a year, pounds, for a vehicle that's 3.5 tonnes, but yours is 4,000 kilograms, 4 tonnes. So you should be paying only £165 a year. So it's a big saving there. But the key thing is, what does it say on your V5? does it say 3,500 or does it say 4,000? Because there may be another plate on the vehicle, which is the converter's plate, where it's been downplated to 3,500, which has taken 500 kilos off your vehicle and out of your payload, so how much you can carry, and that will be the class it's been registered as. So when it was first registered, it was probably registered as 3,500 kilos, but it can go up to 4,000 kilos. It's a fairly straightforward process. You don't need it replating, the plate's already there. You can just tell DVLA, based on the VIN number, they'll recognize it and send them a picture of it, and they will change your V5 back up to 4,000 kilos. If you're not sure, then go and speak to an expert. It's a great company called SV Tech, T-E-C-H, who would be able to help you. Really helpful bunch. In fact, we've got an interview with them coming up in a few weeks' time where we talk about exactly this, how to upplate and downplate a motorhome and that big topic of payload. But Alan, I reckon the DVLA are overcharging you.
Does that mean you can get a refund?
That's a very good question. Probably not, no. It's worth a conversation with DVLA, but they will only speak to you via written letter. They love putting a stamp on an envelope. It's ridiculous. Trying to speak to a human being in the DVLA is very difficult indeed.
So that's the Q&A for this week. If you want to get in touch, there are a variety of ways of doing it, but the easiest, Matt, is...
We would love it if you did. You can go to mhmp.info/askmatt, where you can enter your question on a form, or we would love it if you click the orange button and recorded your question. Dead easy to do. You can do it on your phone. Tell us where in the country you are, and we'd love to hear your voice. mhmp.info/askmatt.
And you can share with a friend as well, either the audio or the video. And what about subscribing, Matt?
You can do that on all your podcast platforms. You can do it on YouTube as well. Make sure you hit subscribe. Around 80% of you watching on YouTube are not subscribing. Would really, really help us and help spread the word of the podcast on YouTube if you would click subscribe and hit the bell. And then the gods of YouTube will tell you when a new episode is released. Dead clever.
Thanks for listening to the Motorhome Matt podcast. Remember to check back here for more episodes full of hints and tips and helpful advice. We'll see you soon for another Motorhome Matt podcast, brought to you with thatleisureshop.com.